Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, May 28th. It is already the end of the month, but it's Memorial Day in America, and we're honoring all of our, I want to say, our armed forces throughout time, and we are bringing it up to today, and this is the one day a year we do that, and it's great because it gives us a chance to remember. I think every day that goes by in life, we forget a lot of things, and we're just so busy, and just to have time to think about these things and to remember them is really great. So, you know, man, huge shout out to anyone who's served in any way. I mean, just even having to leave and you know, come back with experience that a lot of us don't understand. And it's a tough call at times. And we're very close to a young boy who served in Afghanistan, and we just love him to death, and you know, he very rarely talks about it, which is interesting, and that we found out happens to a lot. You know, they just don't really know who to talk about it with, so it's very interesting. But for today, speaking of him holding on to things, when to hold on to your feelings and when to share what you feel. A lot of times, and this gets us in most of our trouble, is that we are very reactive. We're very reactive to things. We just, you know, start just saying how we feel, and we just put it on people and we expect them to deal with it or do something with it. And we want them to know how mad we are, all of that. But there's another way to do that. And we're learning a lot of new ways to do a lot of things, because the old ways only left us more frustrated and left us feeling more isolated. Time to know when to just not say anything at all until you've really let it go through a few filters. Because there's something we forget. We forget that we don't own anybody, but we think we do. We think if we're married to someone or dating someone or they're our kids or they're our best friend that we have the right, or we're their boss, but for different reasons, not the healthy things they need, but to have the right to tell people what to do. And that they have to listen. And if they don't, they're in trouble. They're not loyal. They're being judged. The argument continues. Now, if somebody's doing something that is directly hurting the relationship you're having with them, anyone is, this is hurting us. Because that's really what's happening. But if they're just doing something where there's no harm, no foul, maybe it's a little sticky, but they have to solve it. In so many ways, you kind of have to let them. Because at times when you want to say something and it's bothering you, and you don't know how to put it down to understand what that means, give yourself time to figure out what you mean. A lot of times, if a husband or a wife, you know, they see some old friends, you're not included. They're doing something that maybe you're not included in. And you start to feel like maybe they don't need you anymore. Instead of complaining about what they're doing, let them know that it's not what they're doing that's the problem. It's that you don't feel needed. But it takes you a couple days to catch up to that one. I had a couple, and this was, you know, someone close, and I don't do my appointments anymore. But somehow this these things find me. And they were going to break up. How they were doing, they're like, not well. We're not doing well. But what happened? We've been together for a while. What happened? Because, of course, I'm going to ask. But they didn't give themselves time. They just were having the argument. Nobody stepped back and held on to their feelings and gave themselves time to figure out what their feelings really were. Because usually what you're mad at is different than why you're mad. And why you're mad. Just why you're mad. Once you know it, once you understand that, you know what to ask for. You know what to say. And when she was telling me, well, he keeps complaining about me to our best friend. He's never done it before. That's a breach. I said, okay, but what happened before that? Well, my mom lives with us now, and she didn't before, and we only have like one room in the house. Oh. And are you spending a lot of time taking care of her? Yes. Oh, wow. You're spending a lot of time taking care of her. Doesn't see you anymore. It doesn't have time with you. He needed to vent. He didn't want to hurt your feelings. So he went to your best friend who already knows you. You feel like it's a breach, but you weren't even there and had the time to be there. Would it be fair to say that this has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that he misses you right now? He's used to not having to miss you while you're right there. The feeling under the feeling under the feeling. And boy, the minute I said that, you would have thought a light turned on right in front of us. Because they both knew it was true. The one who was mad and the one who was getting their butt kicked. And then it was done. It was done. On Friday, I had a root canal, which is, you know, not very fun, but I couldn't wait to have it because I had an old filling from like 40 years ago. To hollow out the tooth, it cracked the tooth on the side finally after all this time. And since January, I have had a lot of pain in my mouth. I couldn't chew on one side, and they put a crown in, and that was fine. That was supposed to have solved it, and that would have been easy enough. But what happened was that crown unnerved a nerve. It activated one of the nerves that was probably just sleeping all this time, woke up. And that nerve, before we even figured out what it was, they thought it was the placing of the crown. We kept blaming the crown. I kept going back. They kept fixing the crown. And then finally, they had me see a root canal doctor, an endodontist. And he said to me, no, that's because you keep banging on your nerve. And they did this little test, and you could have peeled me off the ceiling when he touched the right spot. So soon enough, a week later, I have this root canal, which was last Friday. I was off from work. I did not work all of Friday. But I've been working like every day of the week and just doing everything I can, and finally, I have this day off, and I'm like, wow, sometimes it's kind of good to have to fix something because, you know, you're off in the morning and you get things ready, and you know if you're not okay when you come back because you don't know what you're going to come back like. But either way, I came back great. So everything went well. That was good. And I feel cool because I can't feel my mouth, and that was weird. But what happened was that morning I was free. So I started calling back my friends who I haven't been able to call for over a week or two, maybe even for one of them. And so I'm calling everyone thinking, yay, I have some time before I go get this root canal and let me catch up with my phone calls. And, you know, I'm kind of off today. And it was like almost I had permission to do it and whatever. Calling. And I found one bad person after another, after another, after another. Everybody was mad at me, but in different ways. One felt bad, like, oh my gosh, she doesn't have time anymore, and was sad. One was just beating on me. Well, you need to look in the mirror as to what friends are. And I'm like, excuse me? I said, why would I need to look in the mirror? I finally have time, and I was happy to call you. And you were holding on to all of this? Well, you don't understand what friends are. And I said, well, when you call me, I text you back, and I say, hey, you know what? I'm really busy. I'm in a meeting. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Well, texting isn't communicating. It only takes 2 minutes to pick up the phone. Went through the whole week of how many hours there are in a week and how many hours there are in a day and how many hours we sleep on and then how many hours we're awake and then from there how many hours, how many minutes it would take to pick up a call. And I said, well, we're never on for just a minute. So now it was even how I did it, just mad, mad, mad. God, I'm really sorry I even called you. Do you realize that in this entire phone call, because I'm busy and I've been telling you I was going to be this busy, I knew it was coming. You call me to tell me about friendship and what that means to you and why you're so upset at me. I'm so mad. And I said, what kind of friend are you if you can't even support someone when they let you know it was coming? Instead of trying to bash me as to what kind of friend I am, I have that I had time, I'm calling you to catch up and see how you're doing. And I get attacked for what kind of friend I am when I'm trying to figure out what I've just done. Have I been blind to the fact that you were only my friend because I had more time to talk to you in the past, and now you're angry and mad and throwing all this stuff at me? The truth is, we missed each other. And that's it. Again, another story about missing. So I realized that most of the time, when we get mad at someone, and we don't hold on to our feelings till we figure out that that's what it was. Because imagine, had he waited a day or two or asked himself a few questions like, why am I really mad? What does she owe me? Why does she owe me anything? Oh, she did let me know she was going to be busy. Oh, you know, she did text me back. And then it was, well, you don't even text me. So I went back through my texts and read them, all my texts. But what it made me feel like is that I wasn't safe. Because the method to the madness was to blame, was to attack, was to make me feel bad, was to hurt my feelings as much as his were hurt. And I had to think about that because it didn't even occur to me. I remember being on the call saying, my God, I just feel exhausted. Because that's what happens when we attack people. We exhaust others, we exhaust ourselves. But usually the things we're mad at stem back to a feeling of us being hurt in some way. And it goes back to something in us that we feel is neglected, was overlooked, something we may feel we deserve to have attention in a certain way. But before we lash out at anybody, it would help you out in huge ways to say, but wait a minute, what am I really mad at? Just take it that one question further. It's easy to be mad. It's easy to blow up, and it's easy to feel justified in all of it. Really, really easy. But it's not in your best interest. It really isn't. It's not in the other person's best interest. My second phone call after that, believe it or not, I went for more, but I figured people are different, and I do want to touch base, and I knew that after I had the root canal, I didn't know how I was going to feel. I may have the rest of the day, I may be out of it. I wasn't so sure yet, because I've never had one before. So I called my second friend, and then in that one, I got a huge sadness, big sadness, like, wow, you know, I knew this was coming. I knew you were going to end up doing work like this. I knew all of these things. And I've been sad for a couple of weeks because I knew something changed. Now, that was pretty honest. And we talked about it. We got to talk about, and then we just got to talk about changes and changing and our kids changing and us changing and everything changing. And we went into this whole conversation. And I thought, boy, you know, thank you for giving me the time and yourself the time to grow into having this conversation. Because I just saw the other one. I didn't even have to talk about it because it was exhausting enough to do it once. But there's a way to give, because when you hold on, you not only find out about yourself, because that's really why all of this is happening in the first place, but there's a patience that slides in and just tells you, okay, now that I know what I know, I can deal with that. I can take it on. When something hurts you, I had a girlfriend, our still friends, and they never separated from the breakup. They broke up, they stayed friends. They didn't like not see each other and then become friends again. They just stayed friends. And his girlfriend doesn't know about his ex-girlfriend doesn't know about his current girlfriend because he didn't want to hurt her feelings. And that being said, the girlfriend, the current girlfriend, started to feel like she was the outsider and she didn't want to say anything. And she let herself think about it. And she said to me, you know, it really has nothing to do with me. It will all transition in time. It just needs its time. And I'm like, wow, that's huge. What happened? How did you get to that? Because you know me, I want to know what goes on in your brain. And didn't say anything. I let him know I was really proud of him for not wanting to hurt somebody else. Because because in the bigger picture, I thought, wow, he will never just throw me away. He will go to great pains to take care of me and to not hurt my feelings and to not let me feel bad. And he's patient enough to know timing is everything. And I really stood back and I said, wow, what a way to look at that. What a way to understand that somebody else has a process, even though it makes you uncomfortable. But you know, there would be no reason for there to be a you if there was still a them. So there obviously isn't a them in the way there was a them. And you have that much confidence, that much strength. Know that. It's not an easy one. If anything, that's got to be the hardest one of all of them. Just not easy. It's a huge leap. Huge leap in understanding we don't own anybody's soul. It's not our job to direct people into doing what we need from them for us to feel good. No matter what, at any given time, okay with who you are and know that everything that's around you is happening to teach you, not for you to control so that you don't get stretched or you don't grow or your world doesn't shatter over somebody else's action. We are really, truly hitting a new time in life, a time in life that brings us to our knees in self-awareness. That self-awareness that tells us that we can interact with each other. We can support each other. But we don't need to enable each other, demand from each other attention that we believe we rightfully deserve. Because that becomes so egocentric that you don't realize that other person even has a life. Or that they had a life before you. That they just lived without you because they didn't know you yet. And now that they know you and you own them and you throw all your stuff on them and you slap all these feelings all over them, and now it's their job to work out your stuff. That's not okay. That is the source of many issues. Many, many issues. Big source. Really interesting when you look at it that way. I always look at it like, you know how somebody might like a plain turkey sandwich and somebody else might like, you know, a bunch of stuff on it and one's real sloppy and everything's falling out of the sides and you kind of eat about 80% of it and the other 20% stays on your plate. And there's someone who just likes the turkey. No bread, no nothing, rolls it up, has a salad on the side and they're fine. There are no two of us alike, and we don't need to be. But respect for the fact that we aren't alike is what's huge. When I was doing one-on-ones, and I would have a couple come in, and it would start with, well, we've never done that. So in a way, the fact that they've never done something and they're in there because of something they've done now and they're not comfortable. That's really the background. But you're not one person. We've been taught that we're supposed to be one person, but we're actually not. We're actually two people who are living one life. Think about that for a minute. You're two people living one life together. And that's the shared existence in a home with children. But you are two people. There isn't a we don't do this or that. We that are known, that aren't relational, that you can't do. Because it would defeat the purpose of having a relationship. But, you know, because I always get those, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And they want to know the rules so they could break them and get into that whole, you know, twisted world of tempting themselves out of goodness that's happening around them or the self-sabotage. And it's not about the tit for tat. It's about common sense. We all know beyond a shadow of a doubt what works, what doesn't work. But we also know when there's times we probably wish we hadn't said something because we weren't sure. That 1 or 2 days of thinking something through, and not all the time do you have that, but most of the time you do. And take that option. Give yourself a moment to figure out why you were upset. Because a lot of times, once you throw that card out, like, you owe me, the other person gets overwhelmed. One of the writings in Original Love that says, you know, if somebody tries to fix you for you, you'll both fall. Because one can't carry your load and theirs. We each have our own loads, and it's a pretty big one. A lifetime is, I would say, a load, a good load. But it's a hard load, and it challenges, but there's great times in it to balance it all out. But we are growing towards understanding that kind of individuality. Even yourself, you're going to go through a whole I'm going to beat up myself session for a day. Ask yourself why you even need to do that. This is the time of questions. This is the time of calling out all the things we just spit at each other and realize we don't need to be spitting at all. That level of respect, that level of kindness, that level of gratitude, that level of understanding, it's a whole new world. A whole new world. And the more we know about this world, the more we grow in it. And when we want to narrow it and put it in its little box, then we can't see it anymore. It's amazing. It's amazing the difference. And try it. Try when you're going to say something. Just hold it back on something easy in the beginning, so that you can see how it works. You'll never turn back. You will never turn back. You guys, I got 10 seconds. I'll see you tomorrow. I can't believe it. It tells me I have 30. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.